How to win at spiritual warfare through prayer, part 14, praying through the Bible, message 290. That's 290 Wednesday nights. This poor preacher has been preaching on prayer. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always, the Holy Word of God says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love for us, your mercy and your grace and your goodness to us. It is mind-blowing. And Lord, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation full and free through him. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. Lord, as we from our hearts forgive those who have sinned against us. And deliver us throughout this day from temptation, evil, and sin. And Holy Father God, continue to give us the grace to keep our eyes on things above and not down here on the earth. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd crush and crucify our flesh fresh and anew and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing and the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. As your servant Billy Graham has stated, we need everything that's in us, we ought to empty it out of ourselves to be filled with your Holy Spirit. All selfishness, he said, all gratifications, he said, we need to do that. We need to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with your Holy Spirit. Grant us your grace and your anointing, your unction, and the feeling of your Holy Spirit to preach your Holy Word once again. And, Lord, you do what you normally do. I don't understand it, how you can take such frail and weak vessels and use them in such a mighty fashion. Lord, we pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and Sanballat and Tobias's and their spirits from this place today. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil in every way. Not only in this service, but throughout the remainder of this day, help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, in perfect peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Save those who are lost. Encourage those who are saved to pray earnestly and sincerely. And glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit through your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, by the grace of God, we are in a rather long series now of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you, to exhort you, to challenge you, yea, if you will, to motivate you. You should be done with that now. To motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. He is there. Contrary to what Stephen Hawking said in his life that God gave him, Stephen Hawking, who is dead now, now knows that God is there and that God is here. And he is not in hell. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is real and he is there. And he is here. And he's watching you right now. And as children of God, you need to pray to God. Nobody can help you like God. Get over and deal with the vicissitudes of life. Your mama can't help you. Your daddy can't help you like God can help you. Your best friend can't help you. We highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 289 messages in this series. This is message number 290, titled, How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer, Part 14. As we have considered the types of prayer that we should employ, if you will, in spiritual warfare, we have discussed the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of request or supplication, the prayer of intercession, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of worship, and the prayer of consecration on last week. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we will look at another type of prayer called private prayer. Jesus often prayed alone, for example, in Matthew 14:23, when he had sent the multitudes away. He could have had a big old grand prayer meeting right there with all the people. They would have stayed. But he sent them away. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And sometimes you need to pray all by yourself. Amen, somebody. You need to follow Jesus in that example. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. We're talking about private prayer. The importance of praying alone. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful experience. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says, And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there prayed. Jesus knew the secret of getting up early in the morning to get away from others, to avoid the traffic, and to pray alone. And then in Matthew 6:5-8, Jesus says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. one of the ways you can avoid praying in a hypocritical fashion is to pray alone. And so, beloved, verily the Bible says, I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen, somebody. And then Jesus says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Amen, somebody. Go to your closet and pray. Do you know that while you're sitting in your easy chair, relaxing, you can whisper a prayer? While you're driving down the road in your car alone, one of the best places to pray is in the car. In fact, some people do more praying in the car than they do at the house. There's less distractions. And it's something about getting out and about and seeing the world that will move you to pray. You need to leave that alone and focus on what you're doing here. C.H. Spurgeon said, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. Amen, somebody. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers of many years ago, said a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body like a rotting bone or a decayed tooth. Before long, since he does not contribute to the benefit of his brethren, he will become a danger and a sorrow to them. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. Amen, somebody. Daniel Ezekiel, you did fabulously. I appreciate it. All prayer, if done in the right spirit as to God alone, is in a way private prayer. Or at least it should be. It is communication solely between the person praying and God Almighty. It is not done for the observance of others. However, Jesus Christ taught and practiced the value and power of private prayer. In Matthew 6:6, he said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Dr. Arthur Pink said, private prayer is the test, is the test of our sincerity. And by the way, you can't pump this up. You can't fake this. You can't take this little quote right now and say, okay, now I'm going to show myself to be sincere. I'm going to pray in private. No, you're probably lost. You don't even know God. We're not talking about that, man. You can't really be instructed to do this. This is something that God does on the inside of you if you are a child of God. When you're sitting in the darkness of your room at night and something tells you to pray, that's God, that's not the devil. Private prayer is the test of our sincerity, the quote said, the index to our spirituality, the principal means of growing in grace. Private prayer is the one thing above all others which Satan seeks to prevent, for he knows full well that if he can succeed at this point, the Christian will fail at every other point. End of quote. Amen, somebody. You wonder why you're failing? You're failing in prayer, private prayer. Now, the devil is afraid of all kinds of prayer. But I believe what the preacher is getting at, the theologian is getting at here, that he is very afraid of private prayer. Because when people pray privately and they're in their closet, those are the ones he knows they mean business. To be in a closet by yourself praying to a God you cannot see, the devil's afraid of you. Oh, yes. The devil does not know how to handle somebody like you because he knows you're not in this for a game. He knows that you're not trying to show off. He knows that you are not getting any rewards from this and pats on the back. And by the way, if I told you this before, I'm going to tell you right now again, if somebody pats you on the back, oh man, you sure prayed. I assure you, you have not prayed. You have not prayed. You just talked into the air. That's ridiculous. Man, I tell you, you sure know how to pray, don't you? No, you don't know how to pray. You don't even know what prayer is. Are you prevailing in private prayer? Is it easy? No. It is much easier to slide into prayer when someone else has broken the spiritual inertia that I talked about in my book. Not a praying time, but the other one. The other prayer book. The prayer motivator. The reason why many people don't pray is because of spiritual inertia. This is the parallel is the reason why people don't exercise is because of physical inertia. It's easy to sit down and watch other people exercise than to get up and exercise yourself. Inertia dealing with work. We know that we will not accomplish anything if we don't work, but overcoming that inertia is the thing to do, to get it done. You got to overcome that inertia, that thing, that psychological thing, that mental thing, that whatever it is. To get you started. It's easier for us to slide in behind somebody else who's already got the ball rolling. But to hit the closet, so to speak, dry, and no help from anybody else, let me tell you something. Most people, that's the reason why they don't pray. Because your will is involved. God will prompt you to pray, and God will remind you to pray. But your will is involved, and what many people can't stand after they have been saved for a while is that dryness right at the beginning of prayer, which always goes away if you just start praying in faith, believing, amen, somebody. It is much easier to pray when you are under the expectant gazes of others. But Jesus wants us to take the honesty of the times when we are alone with God, if you will, and pray to Him alone in private prayer. We laud David's sincerity and honesty and transparency, don't we? That's the reason why we always read the Psalms, particularly when we're in trouble. Because David understood the power of honesty and transparency. But more importantly, God, who led him, understands the power of transparency and honesty and being real. This is why God, in his word, let it all hang out, so to speak. He did not try to make some people better than what they were. Led by the Holy Spirit of God, he had the writers to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know it's the word of God because of how it's written. It tells the story of David vanquishing Goliath. The people would sing his praises in a respectful manner to God, of course. But the same Bible tells of how David committed adultery, took another man's wife, and killed that man, and then lied about it. Some say 9 months, until Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "David, let me tell you a little story." David was outraged, and Nathan pointed his finger at him as the man of God to the king. "Thou art the man." So we laud David's sincerity, his realness, his honesty, his transparency about his feelings and what he went through and what he was going through, as recorded in the Psalms. But we must remember that when David composed many of those emotionally charged, gut-wrenching prayers, he was holed up in a dark cave, on the run, lying awake all night on his bed, watching for his life, or out under the stars. He had neither an audience nor prayer partners. Amen, somebody. What sustained David during his most difficult times was private communication with God through prayer. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, how is it with you today? I have so much more to say, and we'll make this message a part two of this particular message. And so may I encourage you to spend time in private prayer until we meet again. Old Hallisby wrote, "A little while alone with Jesus, oh how it soothes the soul and gathers all the threads of life into a perfect whole." Amen, somebody. Spend a little time with Jesus. You'll be amazed at the difference that he will make in your life. Spend a little time with God in prayer, and you will be amazed at what God will do in your life. Now, before I leave you today, if you are with us today, as you all understand by now that I am an evangelist by calling. I don't call myself that because we have too many people today who call themselves evangelists and everything else, and they are neither. So many people have messed up the name evangelist, the title. and it's not a title anyway, it's what you should be doing. And we got too many folks who want titles. They're so insecure that they want a title, but they don't want the job. And I believe God is sick of people giving themselves titles from the Bible that he's never given to them. If you make it to heaven and you introduce yourself like you do when you go to conferences and church meetings, "Hi, I'm Evangelist Jan and I'm Evangelist Jim." If you make it to heaven with that and you go to St. Peter and say, "I'm Evangelist Jan, so good to meet you, Peter, St. Peter, Apostle Peter, whatever." Well, Peter might say something like, "Well, up here you're just Jan, okay? So no, you don't need to give us your title." And then Apostle Jim, you're not an apostle anymore, you're just Jim, okay? But we're glad to have you. People need to get over this, stop this mess. You show your insecurity if you need a title. Your name is enough. Anyway, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. All of us are heading towards the funeral home and to the grave, 6 feet under, because of our sin. That's the only way that you can explain it. There's no other way to explain it. And our soul is going to hell right now. We're on our way to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Accept that fact. There's no purgatory, as the Pope and the Catholics say. There's no limbo. There's no in-between place to try to make things right. It's going to be too late once you die. That's a lot of hell. It's heaven or hell. It's up or down. It's in or out. It's sink or swim. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of a painful memory. And hell is forever, dear friend, just like heaven. You know why we're all still here? Because God is waiting on you. Because many of us are ready to go. God is waiting on you, and God is making us wait on you. And God wants us, while we are waiting on you, and he's waiting on you, he's waiting on us in the church to tell you how to be saved from hell so that you would believe on Christ so we can get out of here and avoid going to hell altogether. You say, "I'm in hell right now." Listen to me. This is heaven compared to what hell is like. Because you see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. Jesus, God in the flesh, died for us on the cross. That's how much God loves us. So don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. He is calling you right now. He's speaking to your heart and life right now. I like something that Billy Graham said one time. He said, all of you are going to vote tonight. See, all of you are going to vote. You're going to vote for Jesus or you're going to vote for the devil. And I added something to what he said. And that is this. The devil may win the popular vote. But God, Jesus Christ, rather, will win the Electoral College. Amen, somebody. So vote for Jesus. Don't vote for the devil. Trust Christ as Savior today. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Jesus Christ didn't only die to save you from hell. The main reason why Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine, was buried and rose again, is because God and Jesus love you so much, they want you to be with them in heaven, man. That's a wonderful thing. Don't be foolish. There's no love, there's no woman, there's no high down here on earth worth dying and going to hell for. There's no man worth dying and going to hell for. There's no pleasure worth dying and going to hell for. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart, believing his gospel that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Trust him today. Pray with me a simple prayer together. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit the sins I have committed against you. I have broken at least some of your Ten Commandments, such as lying, such as stealing, such as lusting at people and after people and after things, such as dishonoring my parents, and many other sins and variations of sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. For I have sinned by nature and by choice. Lord Jesus, please save my soul. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. I understand, Lord, from your gospel that my sins have been paid for. And because of that, I don't have to pay for them myself in hell. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul from hell and saving my soul to heaven. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from our old and evil ways and to follow you in the new life according to your holy word in the Bible. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society or Gospel Light House of Prayer and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you. We love you with the love of God, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. Let's all stand.